This week's episode of So Wrong It's Right was brought to you by Foxy Bingo. Put some Fox in your day with new, quick and interactive bingo experiences all at the tip of your finger. They have a huge range of free, classic and exclusive games you can play with your mates to keep the party going. Want to connect with other players? Foxy Bingo has a community chat so you can always feel part of the Foxy pack. So get your Fox on by heading to Foxy Bingo today. 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Come at us, bro.
Say it.
But anyway, I just wanted to touch. Come at us, bro.
No, do it aggressively.
That sounded really lame. Yeah. Cut that out. I do actually look like I bunked off school to do this.
No, not with that face.
You look like you're going to a fancy dress school, girl.
Are you done?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm done. Have we started?
We have absolutely started, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And excellent. Why is the coffee table so far away? Why have you got a pineapple? Why have the candles not been lit? And why the fuck have you come dressed like that? Answer that in any order. And also, you can tell it's a new set. You've still got labels on your pillows, but that's all cool.
He's just mugging me off.
They're not even
explaining. I said no straight men on this show, and everyone goes, you've got to bring a straight man in. So I thought, who's the one straight man I can tolerate? We're not going to be here that long because you're not that fucking interesting, but there's...
Well, judging by the novel you've got on your fucking lap, I am.
Crack on.
I was about to introduce you as a close friend, but I'm going to cross that bit out.
I'll set you off.
The man, the... That's actually feel like it's really settled the energy in here.
Thank you.
The man, the myth, the tattooed haired legend, Pete Wicks, who is my only... I actually... was thinking about this earlier, you are pretty much my only straight male friend.
Not a lot of people like that. So it's not a surprise. But thanks for that. That was lovely. I appreciate that.
Do you think that's weird?
No.
I don't have much in common with straight men. The gays, we bond over makeup and dicks. I've been burnt over the years by having male friends.
What do you mean?
In the sense that I've had straight male friends who have then either tried it on with me.
No, you make me feel sick, darling.
This is why we've stayed friends for 5 years.
But we bond over insults.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird thing to bond over.
I know.
I feel like that is our bonding experience.
Do you remember the first day we met?
Yes, I do, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Because someone asked me about it the other day. Oh, actually, I think it was one of you guys when I saw you the other day. And they basically said, when was the first time you met Liv? And it was when you'd come off Love Island.
Okay.
And you were with Chris Hughes at an event.
Yeah.
And we were sat on the same table. I can't remember if it was, like a Specsavers event or something?
Yeah, you're right, you're bang on.
And me and you were sat next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we got hammered.
Yeah.
And I remember you sitting there after about an hour going, he's doing my fucking head in.
Yeah.
Talking about him. And then me and you just got pissed for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And didn't he ever go at you as well?
So when the event ended, we were chatting, but we weren't flirting.
No, we were just insulting everyone.
Yeah.
Drunk.
And then he screamed at me in the corridor in front of like 20 people. And then, yeah, we left.
Yeah.
That's how most of my events went in the first few weeks after Love Island, to be fair.
And that's how we first met.
Yeah, that's a really good memory, because I would have actually just probably fast-forwarded straight to Towie.
No. Because we'd actually been out a few times before you joined Towie. Loads of us had been out. I mean, you always just used to end up pissed, being the lively ones in the corner that just ripped the shit out of everyone. And then when you joined Towie, I was over the moon because no one else would film with me at that point.
Yes.
Mainly because I despised everyone and they despised me. So I didn't really have a lot of friends. So there you were.
And doesn't it feel really quite weird, like, sitting here like this on white sofas, pretending to be, like, functioning adult people?
Yeah. It baffles me how either of us have got a career or hold down any sort of work.
Do you know what I think? It's weird because we're both in this very similar space now, in the sense that we're coming from reality TV background and we're trying to cut our teeth in, like, broadcasting.
One of us is obviously doing it a lot better than the other. But thanks for trying to put me in the same sort of category.
We're doing the same.
Yeah, just better. But it's okay. You can keep saying it. It won't change the outcome. But again, thanks.
But it's not easy, is it?
Well, not for me. No. Some of us, it's been a lot easier. Doors have been opened. I don't know if that's to do with tits, because it's certainly not talent. But one way or another, yeah, no, it is hard. It is hard to come from. It's still there. It's
I can't feel them, so I have to be sure. You know
that's
what I mean?
All right. A lot of other people do it for you. So, yeah, it is difficult to come from reality to what you're doing now, yeah.
I think this thing that you and I have in common and the reason we're both hopefully going to do well in our future endeavours...
Yeah, one day I'll try and catch you up.
Good sense of humour, and you can be a complete cunt, but this one thing I always say about you to everyone, you are never a cunt to anyone who doesn't deserve it. Like, people that on shows, that work on shows, producers, runners, whatever, you are gentlemanly, chivalrous, do you know what I mean, polite. Whereas I think that's the thing with TV personas, and especially the persona that I played, especially on TOWIE, I think people would think, oh, but she's absolutely vile to everyone. No. Like, if you're a little shit, I might toss an olive bowl at you. But if you're someone making
that
a
happened.
Show...
That happened. Fact. One of the funniest things that's ever happened, genuinely, in the 7 or 8 years I did TOWIE, was Liv... dashing olives at someone.
You can hold responsibility for that because we drank for about 10 hours straight before that happened.
Yeah, and then that to take Liv to a separate bit for her to calm down. So she requested me as the person to calm her down. And then me and Liv spent 2 hours together just getting pissed. And whenever they kept coming over, the producers, we kept going, no, 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 she's not. She needs a bit more time. And then they'd go with me and they'd be like, see? Good
just
fun.
Getting more wild yeah,
really good. Do you know what? I sort of agree with that, because anywhere I go work-wise, or anyone I work with, anyone that's ever worked with you has always got the nicest things to say about you and sings your praises. And I think it's really important, especially in this kind of weird game that we do, when you're around so many people and you work with a lot of the same people over a period of time, that you're just nice to people.
Yeah.
But not because you have to be, just because you're a fucking nice person.
Yeah.
And the problem is this kind of weird little industry is full of... what's the word? Oh, cunts. So actually, when you get someone who's actually just quite normal and relatable, people want to work with them.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes opens a few doors, because people want to work with people they get on with who know will do a good job and not be a twat.
And people don't want to make their life unnecessarily difficult. So if you are just an arsehole and you make people's life difficult in a work environment, you can get away with it for a certain amount of time. If you're good on camera, you see examples of this. But then you see where it ends.
Yeah.
Because people start going, I don't want you on my set, whatever that set may be. Yeah. I don't want to deal with your shit. Yeah, you're funny, but you're not funny enough to make everyone's life miserable.
But also, even with, talking about, like, talent, like, it's really weird. And when people ask me kind of what I do, if I go away on holiday, like, and someone says to me, oh, what do you do? I tell them I'm an electrician, because it's a lot easier to explain and no one asks a fucking question.
But sure, they recognise you, Pete.
No, not if...
Quite recognisable. Or you talk about foreign people.
Yes, people that are not from, like...
England.
UK. Yeah, outside of the UK, I'm just a sort of a hairy, sort of weird bloke. But...
And
actually,
also inside...
Actually, in the UK, I'm just a hairy, weird bloke that people might know. Because I don't really know what to tell people I do, because I kind of get paid to be me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
And especially that's what it was doing reality TV. You just get paid to be yourself. It's the easiest fucking job in the world. It's only when you want to come away from that and start doing other things, like actually in broadcasting or whatever else, that you actually need to have some form of talent. And I think that's where I've struggled.
No, but you are obviously completely useless and incompetent, but...
I was waiting for the but, yeah.
No, you are funny and you are quick and you're articulate. That is a talent, to be able to engage people and make people laugh and be able to have this sharp sense of humour you have. Not many people have that.
No, because most people are thick.
They are.
Especially in this industry. There are a lot of people who are they're a sandwich short of a picnic.
What was life before TOWIE? What was Pete Wicks doing?
I had a real job.
Was it prison?
No, I worked in the city for years. I had quite a big job. I was an international sales director for a medical recruitment company. So I set up offices all over the world, and I used to supply consultant doctors to the NHS. So haematologists, gastroenterologists, radiologists, that sort of stuff.
So from that, to the only way is SMS.
Yeah, and then I decided what I wanted to do was fall out of nightclubs and finger women.
Does sound more fun.
No, it's a lot more fun. But I'm just trying to bring it back, because it's a lost art that the kids don't understand these days, and we were kind of brought up on that shit.
What, are the kids not fingering each other anymore?
No, they're just full how do you say it?
You've not
they
had it
fuck.
In a while, I know.
Yeah, they just
fuck.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm still fingering.
And how do you know that? How do you know that?
Gunslinger. What?
How do you know the kids aren't fingering?
Because no one talks about it anymore, do they?
They don't really hear it. No. Bit of dying art.
Yeah, well, like, you know, when you were younger, you're probably going to cut all this out, but now people just fuck, don't they? No one goes, did you finger up? Like, I just don't understand
what the bases.
Yeah, but luckily, the bases.
Was it called bases? Yeah. Base one.
First base. Base one. That sounds like a shit nightclub where you were brought up. Do you want to go down base one? Yeah, if you want.
First base.
Two for one on base, WKDs.
Third base. And then fourth was the whole McCoy.
Yes, it was.
Do you know what? I tell you what. Nothing more painful than being a young girl getting fingered by a boy that doesn't have a fucking clue what he's doing.
Yeah.
With his unwashed sausage fingers and probably dirty nails, wearing you like a puppet.
Especially, like, I imagine the sort of places that you went, you probably would have been the second or third girl of the night.
Probably.
So yeah, it was just a case of stirring porridge, wasn't it?
Put a pin in fingering.
Well, clip that up. Listen to this week's episode where we discuss fingering.
In the city, how'd you get onto Howie? Approached?
I was in Sheesh with Lockie and the producers were there and they were like, we want you to come on. And I was like, nah, not for me. Never seen it. Don't want to do it. No interest. They all went to Marbella for 10 days. And I went out there anyway on holiday with like Lockie and the book, like not to film. And they went, just come and do one. So I went and did one little villa party thing. And then I got papped at that and it went fucking wild before anyone knew the fuck it was, like, who the fuck is this guy?
Because you look so different to all the other boys as well.
I weren't Slick Rick. I weren't fucking side parting Martin. Do you know what I mean? I turned up and I looked like I'd sort of just woke up in a wheelie bin and people were like, what the fuck is going on there? So it went a bit wild and that was that. I was doing PAs before I'd even been on TV.
What?
Yeah, I'd been booked to go fucking different places when I got back from my bed and they hadn't even aired my episode. So people were paying me to go to nightclubs just because I was... I'd been in the Daily Mail.
But the power of that show at that time was insane.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the biggest show on telly.
Yeah, it was because back then, like, you know, when you go back to, like, the kind of golden age of, like, reality, I suppose.
Yeah.
There was that Made in Chelsea and the Northern one, what they called the Geordie thing.
Mm.
So there was only really them three. Like, every man and his dog's on telly now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like, if you've got a fucking set of tits and a sleeve, then the chances are you're going to get a call up to do some dog shit dating show, many of which I've done. But back then there wasn't as many, and it was pretty big.
Yeah, it was massive.
We had like a real cult following.
People like came from all over the country down to Essex to literally like
they used to do a tour. They did Towie tours, which is they used to just come on a minibus and just go and basically like there would be someone, you know, like the Hollywood tours where you go,
Denzel Washington
lives there, and they'd be like Gemma Collins once. Fucking shouted at someone there, and that was basically what it would be.
It's mad, isn't it?
I mean, that is weird.
But how many series did you do? How many years?
8? I don't really know because I've kind of blocked a lot of it out. So I can't really remember.
Like,
but I was there for a lot.
Blocked it out, like, for alcohol or just buried it into your deepest subconscious?
Just buried it into my deepest subconscious, and it's in a real dark pit somewhere.
And for a highlight of your career would have been me joining.
Do you know what? I'm not actually going to slag Terry off because it was great and I loved it right at the beginning. Towards the end, it became harder because I was getting older.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the old cast where we were actual kind of friends are gone.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of kind of newer people on it who were, shit and boring. So it was a lot harder to enjoy being there. And then actually, yeah, when you came on, I was really at the point where I'd had enough. So you were a breath of fresh air for the 15 minutes that you were there.
I remember when I left, you went, you're a fucking cunt. I can't believe doing this to me. I'm going to murder one of these pricks without you here. And then you're like, but I'm going to leave at the end. And then the next series, you're back. And I was like, Pete.
And it would be a case that I'd get thrown into things because they wanted someone who had a personality.
Yes.
Because obviously it's difficult being the only personality in a wealth of shit.
Challenging. I mean, your back must have been an absolute bits for carrying that show for them series. I know that with the short time that I was on
Love you
it,
all.
Yeah, and if you want to come on. I know in the short time I was on that
None
series.
None of the audience know who they are.
What surprised me was that the cast were, like, way more concerned with the popularity contest on Twitter and Daily Mail than they were with making good telly. Whereas, I think, and that took me by surprise, because I came off the back of Love Island, where obviously it happened in real time. So we didn't have that, like, referral to people's opinions. It was just a very, and we didn't know how big the show was going to be. So it was a very authentic, like, we just all were ourselves. And then coming onto Towie, and you realise that people were playing this like chess game where they were like trying to look at the story to be the winner. And it wasn't actually about like telling the truth or like entertaining the viewers. It was like, I want to win this situation.
And you know what? That's what become hard. And as much as I kind of take the piss and listen, I've been slammed by everyone since I've left because I kind of, you know what I'm like, I take the piss. And actually, I don't think it's a bad show. I think the problem that people on it have is that actually some of them have got personalities in real life and off the show.
Yeah.
But you put a camera there and they try and be who they think they should be or who people want them to be rather than themselves. And actually, the only way you're going to get any kind of longevity or buy-in or relatability from an audience is if you are yourself, right or wrong. You have to live and die by the sword. When you're trying to be something you're not, it's shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're playing a character and none of them are good enough actors to play a character for that amount of time.
No. And I think, is that because they fear the onslaught of social media? And then have you seen that change in your time for doing telly when you first started? Were people way more unfiltered and less fearful?
100%. Everyone was way more unfiltered. And to be honest with you, the, you know, back then, like the trolling and all the other stuff was far worse than it is now.
Yeah.
Like far, it's insane. Far worse. Some of the things that you know, we used to do and some of the things that people used to kind of say to us is heavy. And then obviously a lot of welfare changed in TV, which I think is a great thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, it's 100% that needed to happen and it's a great thing. But it also changed reality TV a bit.
Yes.
Because it meant that there were a lot of things that you couldn't talk about, couldn't do, and it changed kind of storylines and things for the right reasons.
Yeah.
But then it's harder then to buy into that because there's always a backstory that people don't know about.
Yeah.
So people are watching half a story. And sometimes it doesn't make sense, but when you know the full story, it enables people to cop out and play a character rather than themselves because their emotions are not natural or real, they're thought out.
I sometimes think, say I went into Love Island now, if they had like a, you know, OAP version, I, in knowing what Love Island is, would I act differently? Probably not, because I've got that special thing in my brain where I can go and feel no shame.
I think, but this is the thing.
People, and I can't turn it off. But other people, I think, when they know what can come, it's like there's a lot to lose and there's a lot to gain.
100%. And like, there's nothing wrong with people going to do that.
No.
You have to own that. Like, I'm sick of seeing things where people basically just talk bollocks.
Yeah.
About why they're doing things. If you want that lifestyle, and the fact, because social media and influencers and all that sort of stuff have made this lifestyle seem so amazing that now it's what everyone wants to do.
Yeah.
It's not that amazing. And I don't think people talk about that enough. Don't get me wrong, there's some amazing perks and there's some amazing things. But a lot of the people that you see that are doing that have done that because they've been themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's a really hard thing. There's not many people that are unapologetically themselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're one of them people. And I am. And that's why a lot of people love you and some people think you're a knob.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people despise me, but the occasional person loves me, is because it's kind of Marmite. We are what we are and that's it. But we get cancelled.
But I think, yeah.
That's the point I was getting at.
Done.
We'd get absolutely
be done.
Yeah.
But I think what you and we both do well, which is what works in reality TV, is we're quite good at, well, I think I'm all right at self-narrating our own life. So I will make a mistake, but then on the same show, in the next scene, I'll go, oh, I really fucked up there.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to flip it and go, oh, someone tricked me, it's someone else's fault.
You own your shit.
I own my shit.
Listen, everyone makes mistakes and that's part of life and that's all good to make, but admit when you're fucking wrong.
Yeah.
At least and be humble enough to say that. And also, that's probably one of the most, probably the only nice thing about you is that you can be a complete cock, but you own that. But we all can.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's really important because it makes you relatable. But also you stand your ground. Listen, if I'm fucking right, I don't care what you say. I'm standing by it. And that's important as well. But also we're just fucking great.
But this has been a really weird tone so far. It's almost been like insulting each other, but then also giving ourselves like loads of compliments. But
this is what we do though. It's really
you
weird.
You take this so two ways. You've got these two just sat there and fucking told each other how great they are for 45 minutes.
Basically, I just don't want to get through them cue cards because I don't really know what to expect. So I thought if I just waste 45 minutes just for us just fucking blowing smoke up each other's asses, it'd be great.
Going to move off reality TV in a minute because I've just bludgeoned it to death, but I do think it's so interesting to talk to you about. But out of... I've got this list here of what you've done. SES Days, who...
Sorry?
Someone's not been up since 5. SAS, Who Dares Win, Sebs Go Dating, Real Full Monty, and the list goes on. What's been your favourite?
Bear Grylls, I think. The Island.
Oh, yeah. When you got your finger chopped off.
No, because I still have...
Side of the hand.
No,
what happened?
I was bitten by a shark.
Just casual.
I'm a shark attack survivor. I don't like to talk about it. But what happened was... No. So anyway, the reason that I love Bear Grylls and doing shows like that is because that's a fucking, that's a once in a lifetime experience. That's something I'll talk about till I'm 80.
Yeah.
Same as doing like SAS or things like that, because they're things like, how fucking lucky and fortunate are we to get experiences and opportunities to do things like that.
I went in the jungle for 2 days.
But still, like, that's still an experience. I mean, obviously, it was a short one. It was a little bit like TOWIE, actually. You sort of came and
just had a look around.
And went, literally.
Just sussed the place out.
No, I'm good. I'll go back to my own show that I have on my TV that does really well. I don't need this one, so.
Tell them about the shark attack. Because it sounds unbelievable, but
yeah,
we know it's true because it happened.
There's evidence. I was out kind of fishing because that's what we had to do, and there was a little baby shark that was caught in.
a great white
was caught in the net, and I tried to rescue him and get him out, and the little cunt took that for me trying to attack him. So I actually got hold of my hand, snapped my finger, and bit me, which I thought was rude.
Ungrateful little prick.
Yeah.
You're a vegetarian, aren't you?
Yeah. Since then, I was pescatarian when I did the island, which is why I wouldn't let them eat that, but I was fishing, and I did all the fishing because I didn't want to kill. And then from the island, I stopped eating fish because I spearfished stingray and fucking did all that. I mean, I was fish boy.
What, and they just put you off? You got the ick?
I just felt bad. Like, when
killing your own thing, I guess it would, like...
Yeah, like, listen, like, I'm not one of them. Like, yeah, I'm vegetarian and that now, but, like, everyone can make their own decisions. Like,
I'm not
one of them that fucking tells people what they should be doing. It's, and everyone's a hypocrite in some ways, even when you get people that fucking say they're vegan and, a lot of people, they still fucking wear leather or fucking drive with leather seats and then fucking chewing, like, gelatin and sweets and shit and fucking realise. But it's just whatever your kind of... happy with doing, and
I'm
everyone,
like,
was a bit of a reducetarian, it would help.
Yeah, my love for dogs, I feel, is like the purest thing about me.
Yeah.
And I know that you share that love, because I feel like if you are a true dog lover, and the way I talk about dogs, it just sounds sick almost. Like, it's like the only thing that gets me, like, my heart, it's the only thing that can get me, like, emotional.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I've got my rescues, you've got yours.
Yeah.
I would love to have more.
Yes,
like, that would be a thing where I feel like I'd kind of really cracked it if I had, like, more space and, like, a schedule where I could have more dogs.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about dogs for you?
Do you know what? It's funny, obviously, like, dogs has been a big thing for me for quite a long time, but it's animals in general. I think the purity and the fact that they live for the moment is the most beautiful thing. And I think people could take and learn a lot from fucking animals.
Yeah.
You know, anything that can give you unconditional love and take it. And they don't give a shit how your day's been, what you look like, what's happening. They just live for the fact that right there, they're fucking happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most beautiful thing. And, I've done, both of your dogs being rescues, both of mine are rescues. I've done a lot of different things. I've been to dog meat farms in Korea and whatnot, and seen some of the most fucking horrendous things where humans are just the most vile species in the fucking world. And
how'd you even, like, lay your head at the end of the day after seeing that when you went to the meat farm? Did it, like, cut you up?
Like, I'm not, like, afraid to admit. I mean, I was just in floods of tears continually. It's just fucking awful. We as a species are just fucking disgusting. But, yeah, the first time we rescued 164 dogs, 40
of
which came back here, and I fostered one who I called Adam for a little while. But even the dogs out there, you spend 15 minutes with these dogs that have never been around people, have been beaten and treated so badly. You spend 15 minutes with them and they're just like every other dog
because
they just want a little bit of fucking love.
The amount of people, I've got a Caucasian, she shredded my house, we've tried crate
she's
training.
She's bored as shit.
Okay, locking a dog in a crate, there's no training involved. You can come at me in the DMs, I die on that hill.
Yeah, come at me as well, motherfucker.
Come at both of us.
Come at us, bro. Say it.
But anyway, I just wanted to touch. Come at us, bro.
No, do it aggressively.
That sounded really lame.
Yeah.
Cut that out.
Please keep that in because that is all I wanted.
I knew
you were going to do that half-heartedly and it made me...
It made me feel sick.
I think my bollocks have gone up in my stomach somewhere.
That reminded me, I was in the restaurant with Brad the other day. Is there nothing worse than when you call for a waiter and you get aired? He went past and I went, excuse me, my voice like this, and he just walked straight past and Brad was like, I think I want a divorce. He was like, that was so horrible to watch. He was like, that is nasty.
Yeah.
But I want to... on that because we love dogs and you do loads of good stuff for dogs and it's actually given me a really nice, cute little gateway into your dating life.
No, I like what you've done there. I am well known for dogs of many varieties, some of which I just love to pet and some of which I love to pet.
Anyone on the scene?
No.
Are you, Zara and Sam in a throuple?
I only fuck her at weekends, so Sam gets Monday to Friday. No.
She must be knackered.
No, because Sam has 5 days. So it's only 3 or 4 seconds. It's only the weekend she really works out.
People genuinely think that. They think that when you were hanging out with her, when Sam was in I'm a Celeb, were people like, oh, something's going
on? No one's ever thought anything has gone on with me and Zara for obvious reasons. I mean, me and Zara would be the weirdest couple. Like, we could not be any more different. And obviously, we spend loads of time together. So the three of us are, really close and really good friends. We work together a lot and we spend a lot of time together. Sam's, weirdly enough, my best mate. But when Sam went into the jungle, me and Zara did some work together and we were doing some social stuff for Sam. And I had to deny a fair claims.
Yeah.
Because of a fucking stupid dance thing that Zara wanted to do while Sam was in there.
Was there a poll?
No. There was no poll involved, just mine. I genuinely had to deny in the press a fair claims because people are like, nah, it's just not right. It's not right. Why would he be in the house alone with his girlfriend? But I wasn't because someone was quite obviously videoing it. Luckily, it's not other video they saw. I find it really weird that people think that geezers and men and women can't be mates.
Let's go back, because I touched on this at the top about you being one of my very few only straight friends. And actually, weirdly, you are, with the exception of his best mates that he grew up with, you are one of probably the only guy that I could text Brad and say, oh, me and Pete are going for a drink after the podcast. And he'd be like, cool.
But do you know what's mad is, like, actually talking about that, like, because me and you knew each other and I had met Brad.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, when you joined Town Hall, I said, listen, I want to go for dinner with Brad all this stuff so he can see what fucking me and you are like. Because obviously, listen, don't get me wrong, it is a bit fucking weird if you've got a partner and they're spending a lot of time with someone of the opposite sex who you don't know.
Mm.
But I think until you see a relationship between two people and go, no, that's they're pals.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think you can always tell. Like, I've got girl mates who I think, listen, at some point we would probably fuck, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I've got people that disgust me. In that sense.
What is it about me that particularly disgusts you?
It's a lot of it is to do with the limbs. I just don't think that they're proportionate. And also, I do quite like a woman to be quite womanly, and I've seen you burp and do some horrendous things. So you are probably the epitome of...
said that I do fart and burp in front of Brad and
it makes me feel physically sick. I wouldn't, right, so anyone that I've dated, I wouldn't even do that in front of them and like, as a man. And if they did that to me, I'm telling you, they're off. So, and she fucking stinks. So it's that, things like that, it's just not for me. Listen, you're a really attractive person, but I've seen past that and seen the depths of your soul, and it's disgusting.
I think it's safe to say that Brad doesn't have anything to worry about.
No, absolutely not.
I've had this debate on Instagram before, and I've got people so riled up about it because I do think. For me, it's like there's a grey area between two straight people from the opposite sex hanging out. Because the thing is, you are, I think, quite a rare exception, because even though you are a guy's guy, you actually you can enjoy a woman's company. Like, you actually, when we have great chats, hopefully this being one of them, whereas a lot of straight dudes, they don't have any interest to speak to women. They don't even know how to have a conversation with women. So therefore, a friendship might sort of blossom, but it's not from innocent sort. It's because they want more at some point.
I was brought up by my mum and my nan.
That's probably why.
I think that's probably got a lot to do with it. But also, like, without sounding like a complete dickhead, I've dated a lot and I've kind of been around the block.
Yeah.
So
you've got mileage.
There's not. Oh God, this is going to sound awful, but there's not ever really been a shortage of women.
Clunge.
So,
are we still saying that?
No, I don't think so.
I just think
maybe worse than the come at me, bro.
Should we do a poll on clunge?
We can do. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, let's. Can we do a? Why didn't we do a poll on fingering?
Yeah,
we could do two polls. Is clunge still okay?
We're going to get
yes, vote no,
now.
And then also, shall we bring back fingering for 2024?
But like invest yes in like not. Nail brushes and nail clippers if you want to get into the fingering arena.
Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, you can't have them sort of saddled fingers. And
I've got really long fingers.
Yes, Jesus Christ.
I know. If I was a lesbian, I'd be giving out like cervix checks.
That is unbelievable.
I know, they're so long, aren't they?
It's like chopsticks.
I know. They're quite useful though, because I can get things from like difficult places. Like if I browse, I've dropped something down the radiator, I'm like, no worries. Get it with my.
How often does Brad drop things down the radio?
Not very often. I was trying to think of an example. Oh, car seats.
Car, yeah, good, good, good. Yeah, nice.
Get a close up on these little bad boys.
That'll be on some sort of weird fetish fingering site.
I don't think so. I think that's actually too weird, even for the fetish community.
No. There'll be someone who's sat at home wanking into a pot noodle like that.
Let me ask you this question, which is basically the equivalent of asking me when I'm having kids. It's the most fucking annoying question, but I'm going to ask you what all the women are going to ask when they watch this. Why is Pete single? And actually probably a lot of the gays as well.
Really? No.
Why is Pete single?
I've got... I'm just going to apologise to the gay community because Liv has an awful lot of gay friends and
yeah,
I don't know any of them that speak like that.
My whole life is gay, man.
I don't know any of them that speak like that.
No, I don't know either.
anyway, God, that was fucking weird.
Jesus.
Do you know what? It is a fucking weird question. It's a shitty question because like, I'm 35 now.
You shaved a couple off there.
So I'm 35 now. Yeah, that's right. Only 35. And you do get asked a lot because people are like, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to blah, 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 blah? I believe in marriage and I believe in all that stuff. And I would love to have
don't
kids.
You really?
Yeah, 100%. But I do have this thing, and maybe it's because, you know, I still have this thing about a fairy tale that I believe everything will change if I meet the right person. I don't believe I've ever been or met the right person. And I've loved people for all sorts of different reasons, but I don't feel like I've ever really properly been in love.
Really?
And a lot of that as well is because I'm also characteristically the typical commitment phobe as well, which is, you know, I'm fairly aware of that. But I think that's because I just don't want to let people down, so I do a runner before I do. But I do believe in all that sort of stuff and I would love to do it. And I certainly think now that's why I don't date really as much as what I used to, is that I used to date quite a lot.
This has been you slowing it down with the dating?
Yeah, this has been me 100% slowing it down.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'll only do like one date a day now.
Yeah.
And I have 3 days off fucking every week. So,
nice.
Yeah, because it was going to fall off. Parts of it have.
For other reasons.
Sorry?
It's like a petri dish down there, is it not?
Yeah, there's a lot of, lots of skin has gone missing.
Also, ask them if this is
the lesions thing. Are a problem.
The lesions, when they ooze. This they used to say at school, you've got jibs. Do you remember that?
Sorry?
They used to say at school, oh, he's got jibs. That means like chlamydia, or you've got jibs. And also, we're not showing
no, it's
STDs.
A clap, isn't it?
Jibs, they used to say.
Jibs? Is that because you went to boarding school?
It's posh.
So is that what Monty and Theodore used to say?
Yeah.
He's got bloody jibs. And you were in the background going, what's that? Because I imagine that's what you were like at boarding school.
Oh, my God. I was actually really
But no, we just called it the
afraid.
Clap. Has anyone heard of jibs?
Put it on the poll.
All right. Oh, the new poll. This is just fucking...
What?
Pete's polls. That's going to be the segment for this.
Nice.
So fucking just up here for thinking.
What's the perfect woman... Physically, what is your type, Pete? Because I've seen you with such an array. Honestly, I was going to actually, because some of the girls you've been with are very beautiful. So I was going to say it was like crafts, but I don't want to know because that's like saying that they're all dogs. But you have been with some beautiful women.
Do you know what? Like when I was younger,
they're all different though, aren't they?
I used to physically have a type that, but the same as everyone. Like, do you know what I mean? Like everyone's got this idea of what they're,
yeah.
You know, when women go tall, dark, and handsome and fucking all that crap. But if you met someone that wasn't like that, then that doesn't mean you go, oh, sorry. Not for me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so really, as I've got older, it becomes more about presence. So really, I want someone that when I walk into a room or when she walks into a room, sorry, I'm captivated by her. Like, I'm just like, what? Like, it doesn't matter what else is going on. And that's a really hard thing to find. And there's not really a reason for that. They don't have to be, you know, the loudest, the fucking, the best looking, the whatever else. There's just something about that person that you think, fuck,
there's aura.
Something about you. Yeah, exactly. And as cliche as that sounds, that's the truth. Presence, I think, is really important. And that's different for everyone. The same as sex appeal. Do you know what I mean? Like, what you find sexy, what I find sexy, what people find sexy, no one finds that sexy. But what you find sexy is completely subject. It's down to you, isn't it? Like everyone's got a slightly different version. That's why you can see someone who's a complete 10 out of 10 and a beautiful fucking girl or a beautiful geezer, and you cannot imagine fucking them.
Yeah.
But then you can see someone. Don't get me wrong, I don't believe in it's all personality, because it doesn't matter how good your personality is, that, you know, if that person is vile, then you're not going to want to, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's not all personality, but it's great. I think
it does make a big difference.
Oh, boys get away with more than girls, because I think that I think typically men are more image focused in the beginning, whereas I think women. But it's like you can get a really average looking guy, and they can be funny, cool, confident, and it's just they just laugh you into bed. Next thing you know, you got jibs. Right, guys, it's time to dive into my box of wrong.
It's a weird thing to call your vagina.
You ready? You're going to tell me if it's wrong, right, or so wrong it's right. Oscar award winning fake orgasms.
So wrong it's right. You've got a man feel like he's done a good. You've got to make a man feel like he's done a good job, I think.
Well, the girl's going to get annoyed by that, huh?
They probably will get annoyed, but as I've been told many times by a lot of my female friends, half the time they just have to go and finish themselves off anyway.
Lovely.
I mean, obviously that never happens with me because I'm a fantastic lover. But
clarity on why single.
It's hard for boys to get it right. We struggle sometimes. When I say we, I'm saying collective we. I obviously fuck like a stallion.
Sexting on a night out.
I'm like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And also, it's nothing better than sending things you'll never follow through on.
Oh, 100%.
Especially as a girl.
Yeah, I honestly talk a great game. And people are very, very excited. I'm a very good sexter. It just happens that practically it can sometimes lead to disappointment and tears.
Or Oscar-winning fake orgasm.
Oh, yeah, an Oscar-winning fake orgasm.
Sex dreams about your ex.
I've never had a dream, so I'm going to say...
What? You're such a freak. Neither is Brad.
Well, apparently everyone dreams.
But you don't remember them.
But I don't remember. So I've never had I've never had a dream.
I'd love that to be me. I have a dream every night, and then I remember it in, like, aggressive detail. And
do you have sex dreams? Is it a real thing? Like, can I... Like, do people... Like, genuinely, because it's never happened to me, I'm not even asking. So people in the room, do you have dreams where you actually wake up next day and think, like, for example, you, is your little baby dick, like, hard in the mornings?
Just call one of my producers Baby Dick.
Yeah, but he's also one of mine. So and he's known on my podcast as Small Dick Paul.
If you want to contact HR.
He's known on my podcast as... So obviously we share a similar group. So I know... So Small Dick Paul, who if you listen to Staying Relevant, is well known as Small Dick Paul. So do you have a little... Does a little mushroom pop up?
It's not big enough to do that.
My guy.
Sex, like an actual sex dream. I've dreamt about people and you put them in a different scenario and then it's like the next day you're like, oh my God, do I fancy that person? Or was it just a dream?
I hear that a lot. Like, does that actually happen?
Yeah. So it's like in the dream, like, so say you get someone that's just like got no charisma, like, no, they're not sexy, but in the dream they were really sexy or like they rescued you or they did something. And then the next day you're looking at them, you're like, oh fuck, like, are you like kind of fit? Yeah. It does like, it subsides and it goes, but.
Good. Oh, I want sex dreams.
You've got enough sex issues. This feels like we have to change it a little bit, but it says fancying your mate's dads, but let's, in your case, say mum.
Oh, listen,
you into a milk.
So wrong, it's right. I quite like an older woman. When I was younger, I used to be...
The same age as you then?
I used to... Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the only way I'd find an older woman now is in a morgue. But I used to... When I was really young, I dated people who I was younger than their children.
Fucking hell, Pete.
Yeah. I used to like an older woman. Sugar mama. Cougar.
Stalking people you work with on social media.
Just wrong, because I couldn't give a fuck. If you're stalking people on social media anyway, then have a look at yourself. Yourself.
For me, it's a bit wrong. Ignoring phone calls from people you don't know. Like, do you answer numbers you don't know?
No. See, so 100% right. I always answer. I don't answer numbers from people that I know that call.
I can validate. I answer every single call that comes to my phone. If it's like a number from like Hong Kong.
Why?
Just curiosity. The anxiety just would eat me alive to not know who needed to talk to me.
Do you, like, in your phone, are all your messages aren't like answered, opened?
I did actually discuss this with my therapist recently because he was like, we've got to find a way to do this. I went for a stage and I'm quite busy at the minute because...
I don't know if you'll know, but I'm just going to let you all know that we're all privileged that Olivia's turned up for her own podcast today because she's really, really busy. She was up at 5 a.m. She's got to go back to Manchester and she works very hard. She doesn't like to talk about it. She doesn't get the credit she deserves, but she is so fucking busy. So thank you for being here. Let's have a round of applause for Liv.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. And I...
Fucking dick.
Anyway, I wouldn't go to sleep until I'd answered every WhatsApp and email. Like, I wouldn't let myself go to bed at the end of the day without answering every single one.
I reply in a good sort of like 5 to 10 business days to almost everything.
Can't deal with it.
I think my WhatsApp now has got something like 500 unanswered, unopened messages.
No.
Yeah.
No. Wrong. Pretending you didn't see someone you know on the street.
Oh, right. 100% do that all the time. Because I just cannot be bothered to talk to you sometimes.
Don't you feel... I don't know if you're the same as me, but because our jobs are, like, talking to people and they're so social-based, my battery is empty. So if I have a very rare day off, I actually, like, Brad, went, what are you doing today? You're going to have lunch with your mates? I just want to be alone all day because every day I'm talking to people.
We're really, really similar in that. Is that everyone's always surprised when I say I'm actually like a bit of a loner.
I love it.
And everyone's
being on
my own. How can you be? Because you're quite sociable and when I'm out, you know what I'm like. Like, when we're quite similar, you're very much there and present. But then when I come away from that, and our job is very much sociable, so you're always talking to people. Our job is talking.
Yeah.
So then when I come away from that, I literally just want to sit with my dogs in complete silence. And I do not want to phone. I do not want to speak to you. I do not want to do anything. I just want to rock back and forth, crying.
We will get help for him after this, just so in case anyone...
Borrow one of your therapists.
Well, most of them quit after the first 3 weeks.
I was going to say, the only person who goes to a therapist and then the therapist needs therapy.
They're like trying to burn their ears off after they've heard my story.
Yeah, PTOS, post-traumatic Olivia syndrome. It's a nightmare, but it's sweeping the nation.
Nice. Restaurant kleptomania. Kleptomania means stealing.
Yes, thank you.
Just for anyone that was listening that doesn't know.
You say restaurant kleptomania, because this is what I'm trying to work this out, is this when people go, like, and they see, I love that glass, and they take it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking weird. Like, just, like, fuck me. I've been on dates with people, like, genuinely.
No, not a date.
Oh, yeah.
And they've stole stuff.
Yeah, but they say they like it, and then I think, well, I'll take it for you then, because I don't want you to get caught stealing, and I'll probably get away with it, because I can talk myself out of things.
Where'd you put it?
Oh, I put it down my pants. I can put it anywhere, really. Sometimes if you just walk out with something confidently, people won't ask.
Well, like a whole dinner service?
No, like, I've walked out with glasses, cutlery. I won't tell you the place that I've done. A candelabra once, because it was really nice, to be fair, but...
Can we get a count on the candles when Pete's exit?
I'll be honest with you, when I leave here, if you think that pineapple's going to be here for the next fucking episode, then you are wrong.
That was my box of wrong.
Yeah.
Pete, I've loved this.
Well, at least one of us has.
I think you have as well.
Yeah, no, I have. I love doing anything you do. It's quite fun working with you, isn't it?
It's easy talk. I think there's some good stuff there for the aspiring reality TV community who now probably are going to look into other avenues of work.
And I imagine you probably should. We've had a lovely time. Judging by the faces of the people in the room, they haven't.
They're contacting legal.
They're on the way. Yeah, they're contacting legal. But
we gave each other a lot of compliments and also a lot of insults. So there was a nice balance.
I think this is actually potentially the nicest we've ever been to each other. I'm not even joking.
I might let you take the pineapple now.
I think it's the tackiest thing I've ever seen, so I'm good. However, I would like one of the gong cups because...
Pete, thank you for coming on. So wrong, it's right.
Thank you. I've had a lovely time, Olivia. You're the best podcast host I've ever met. Goodbye.
This week's episode of So Wrong It's Right was brought to you by Foxy Bingo. Put some Fox in your day with new, quick and interactive bingo experiences all at the tip of your finger. They have a huge range of free, classic and exclusive games you can play with your mates to keep the party going. Want to connect with other players? Foxy Bingo has a community chat so you can always feel part of the Foxy pack. So get your Fox on by heading to Foxy Bingo today. 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.